I'm recording this because I'm afraid. I want you to hear this because I'm afraid. Right now, I'm sitting with my laptop with my headphones on. I'm recording my voice through a microphone. Later, I'll edit the file if I make a mistake. Yes, obvious, you say. I know, you've heard podcasts before. But that's just it. I don't know as much as I thought I did. I've witnessed some strange things. The past few days, I felt like everything around me is negotiable. I want to put down some solid ground. Start at the beginning, tell what happened, force it into something that makes sense. I'm going to put this all together and upload it as a podcast, the one that you're listening to now. I recorded everything that you will hear, except for some music that I got from a friend. Everything you hear is because I chose for you to listen to it. I'm telling you a story at the same time I'm telling myself the story, because that helps me believe it. I also just love podcasts. I've tried twice before to get one off the ground, one about Victorian literature and one about Digimon. So I have the equipment and the software and... Wait, do you believe me? Do you? I know, it's a tiny thing about me, but do you believe it? Or does it sound too convenient? I want you to believe everything I tell you, but even as I hear myself say simple things like this, I ask questions. Would I believe this? Should I believe this? At the end of the day, I suppose it doesn't matter. I'm making this so I can hear it, so I can believe it, so I can hold on to what I know is real. And however many people hear this, if you believe pieces of it, some of it, maybe even all of it, that makes the ground more solid. It makes the world something I can walk on. My story begins with pictures of a parade and ends with a voicemail from a homicide detective. This voicemail.
Good morning. This is Detective Holmes. I'm with the Riverside Police Department. We spoke last night at the scene. If it wouldn't be too much trouble, we'd like you to come down and answer a few more questions today. Or I can swing by your place if that's better. Looking forward to it. Bye-bye.
She is extremely cheerful. But I'll get there. Please keep listening. Even if you don't believe any of it. I'll start at the beginning. I'm going to tell you everything. Everything but the obvious stuff, like where I live or my real name. Normal safety precautions. If you need a name for me, Nora will do. It's one that I've always liked. I'm in grad school in a small town in the southeast. I stumbled on something. That's the phrase, isn't it? Just a small thing, a tiny thing. My friend, who I'll call Jack, was over at my apartment working on a project, scanning in a bunch of archival photos from our town's newspaper. That's when I saw it. The photos of the parade. Before I tell you about the photos, I feel like I have to defend myself in advance. And for that, I need to talk about Harry Potter. Yes, I know, read another book, but follow me on this. Imagine that you are watching a movie. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. The 2004 film directed by Alfonso Cuarón, one of my favorite movies. In this film, there's a strange moment where Harry is walking through the leaky cauldron and the camera pans past a wizard reading a book. Not that strange for a wizard to be reading a book, of course. But this wizard has the book in one hand, and with the other hand, he's stirring his coffee. By magic. Still, not that strange, right? The wizard with the book moves the spoon with a stirring motion of his finger. But most importantly, no wand. No wand! All wizards in Harry Potter use wands, but this one doesn't. You notice this. You make the connection, and you pull out your phone. You pull out your phone and you start Googling, or you go direct to IMDb if you're savvy. You quickly find a bunch of posts of Potter fans noticing the same thing. You find memes, you find long Tumblr posts discussing the scene, with involved fanfiction about the character. You learn that the book he's reading is A Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking. You feel clever. You have found a tiny little secret, an Easter egg of sorts, a little joke the film is making, and now you are in on it. You announce these facts to whoever is in the room with you, or maybe to your friends online. The wizard with the book is Ian Brown of the Stone Roses, according to IMDb. I'm pretty sharp. Now imagine that you were the first person to notice Ian Brown. In 2017. The movie has been out for over a decade. You see the wizard with the book. You see no wand. You pull out your phone. You Google and go to IMDb. Nothing. Nowhere online do they say anything about this weird moment, this strange, out-of-place character. No one but you has noticed this. You would question yourself, right? Maybe you were mistaken. Or maybe you're the first person to find the secret. That's what I felt like. Like my hand going up in class. Like when I know the answer on Jeopardy and I just have to yell it out, like, holy crap, I know this secret and no one else knows. That's what I felt like. At first. This audio is taken from a video I recorded on my phone. The other person is my friend, Jack.
I think you need to bend the mount. More like...
You'll notice an audio blur when either of our real names are spoken.
Look, the little arm gripper thing isn't gripping right.
We want it to point down directly at the table so these astonishing photos can be clearly seen by your 10 followers on Instagram.
I have a lot more followers than that. I am easily in the high 50s.
Well, that's more than me. I think you follow me and then a bunch of the brands.
Okay, there. It is gripped. Angle is good. Lighting is fine. Now, put the photos out on the table one by one, just like you were doing before. Lay them flat, or the glare will make them too hard for the camera to see.
I get it. I get it. Do you want me to tell you again about the photos?
You're working through a box of old photographs and newspaper clippings, and why are you doing that?
Well, it's part of the project for Philbrook. Scanning in photos from the newspaper. It's cultural retrospective.
The photos are of one of the main streets in town.
Yeah, we like to call it Main Street.
It's not really the main part of town now, but when the photos were taken...
1961, 1962, 63, 64, at least that's how they're labeled.
They're photos of this parade that apparently we used to have in town. The Pimento Festival?
Yes, I think the Grits Festival and the Problematic Racism Festivals were already taken.
But these were photos that were in the newspaper, right?
Yeah, they look like the staff photographer walked out to take the same photo every year.
The first one is black and white, but the others are in color. They're all taken from roughly the same position, wide shot of the street with the crowd of people and floats and the Pimento Queen, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see the street in almost the same way in each photo. Beastman was showing these to me, and that's when I saw it and got really excited.
Yeah, you got really excited. And now I'm looking at the photos, trying to figure out why you got so excited.
God, stop it. The row of buildings here, three in a row, right? Almost exactly the same, right? In the black and white photo, you see them?
Yes, I see them.
Now, in the 1962 photo, two buildings. The one in the middle isn't there, right?
Yes.
Now, in the 1963 photo, three buildings again. The one in the middle is there again.
Yes. Wow. So in between photos, the middle building got demolished and then rebuilt to match the original.
But in the fourth photo, the middle building is gone again.
Huh. Well, huh.
Isn't that weird? And cool?
It's definitely weird. So I guess the middle building maybe got demolished, then rebuilt, then maybe it burned or something?
I don't know. And do you know the best part?
What's the best part?
Last time I was on this street, there were three buildings again. The middle building was there again.
Well, come on. So sometime in the 60s, this building either got demolished or burned or something twice. And then they rebuilt it twice. No way.
Yes.
No way. It doesn't make sense.
I'm telling you, I was down there a few weeks ago, and it's three buildings. I'm pretty sure it's been that way as long as I've been in town.
Weird. Well, are we done? I still need to sort through the rest of this box.
No, we are not done. I hear the troubling sound of disbelief in your voice. Put on your shoes.
What?
Let's go. I'll show you.
Okay. Let's get your
phone. I drove across town with Jack to the street from the pictures.
Oh, yeah, the gripper thing.
I wasn't recording anything. We found the place, and there were three buildings. I took a few photos with my phone. The buildings were brick, painted over with a red that had long faded to an almost pink. The three were unoccupied, common for that old part of town. All three buildings looked the same age. Well, I didn't see any signs of the one in the middle having different construction from the other two, but I don't know that much about construction. I tried to peek in the windows, but there were heavy old curtains hung. A dark burgundy looked like something from the 70s. I made a note of the address in my phone and even starred it in Google Maps. Then we drove away. We stopped at a Taco Bell on the way back to my apartment. I wish that had been it. I wish I had left it there. A video I never posted to my Instagram, a strange note in my phone of an address in my town. But I didn't leave it there. I had seen the wizard with the book. I had seen Ian Brown. I wanted to make the connection. I wanted to feel clever. Podcasts have commercials. Here's one. All commercials used for this project are public domain. Where there's light, there's fun. At a concert or a show, in your own backyard, wherever you go. But like this here is for folks to know where there's light, there's fun. That night, I did a fair amount of Googling. About my town, about the parade, about the newspaper that took the photos, about the street itself. I found a lot of information, but none that answered my question. What happened to the building on 18149 Main Street in 1962 and 1964? Destroyed and rebuilt twice? Someone had to have noticed. There had to be a reason. I wasn't obsessed, but I spent a good amount of time over the next few days thinking about the building. So I was obsessed, but I had a good attitude about it. I hate mysteries in books and on television, but this felt completely different. I moved to this town to go to school, so I didn't have relatives to ask who might have remembered the buildings, and a strange woman barging into the assisted living facility in town to grill senior citizens seemed like a bad idea. Even though I knew I was being a little ridiculous, I called City Hall, and after getting put on hold for a while and passed around to a few different departments, I finally landed on the phone with someone in the tax assessor's office. I'm sorry, I just needed to click something on my computer. Could you say that again? What were you just telling me?
Yes, ma'am. You were calling about a property on 18149 Main?
That's right.
Well, I'm sorry, but there isn't one.
I don't...
There's a 18150 Main and a 18148 Main, but no 18149 Main.
I'm just a little confused. It's three buildings right in a row. You've seen them, right?
I really can't say. I don't go down that way much.
So that middle building just doesn't exist? For tax purposes, at least.
Well, I don't know about that. Depending on how the property is drawn up, two of the buildings could both be considered one lot.
Can you tell me who owned the building in the 1960s?
Sorry, the city moved to digital records in 89, and a lot of older records didn't make it over. We do have a record that the two lots were foreclosed on by the bank in 1972, and they still hold the deed.
That's strange, right? They've had this property for 40 years and done nothing with it?
Is there anything else I can help you with, ma'am?
No. Thank you. I called the local branch of the bank. They became very excited when they thought I might want to buy the property, but after that they dismissed me quickly, if politely. They had no information about the previous owner. They would not share any information about the architecture or history of the building except for a potential buyer. Dead end.
See, here's how to make breakfast as exciting as a circus and a three-day rodeo rolled into one.
Awesome for your breakfast. Start the day all shining bright. Gives you lots of cowboy energy with a flavor that's just right. It's delicious and nutritious, bite-sized and ready to eat. Take a nip from Congo and there's your mouth ready to Ralston KTV.
For better breakfast, it's Ralston. One, two, three.
And now we come to it, the leap in the narrative. I'm presenting this story in such a way that it seems reasonable, at least this far. You could see yourself doing something similar to what I did. Curiosity's easy to understand. But the next thing? I saw something strange in some old photos. I took a short drive. I researched my town on the internet. I made a few calls. Every step more involved. A little more commitment. I think most people would have stopped after Google didn't know the answer. They would have shrugged and filed those strange photos away into the junk drawer of memory until they were covered with dust. Maybe a few would have made the calls that I did. I'm not saying this to say that I'm special or better or praiseworthy. I'm saying this to say that I wish I had stopped. Stopped in my apartment. Stopped after Taco Bell. Stopped after the empty internet. Stopped after my polite but empty phone calls. Just stopped. But I didn't stop. And now, as I record this, I can't explain why. Not really. At the time, I just felt so sure that the answer was right there, that I could reach out and grab it if I was just quick enough. Now it seems like it was inevitable. That there is no version of my life where this didn't happen. No version of my life where I didn't break into the middle building on Main Street. No version where... No. Not yet. We aren't there yet. One night, 12:32 a.m., I broke into the middle building on Main Street. Only I was there. Only I was involved. I talked about it with Jack and some other friends, almost like I was joking to test the waters. But they all told me it was ridiculous and that I wouldn't find anything helpful anyway. I went alone. I had spent plenty of time going by the building in the daytime to know that the front doors were securely held shut with carpenter screws, the windows too high to reach from the street, and even in the rundown part of town, cars will drive by at all hours. But in the back of the property, there was a leaning chain-link fence, easy to hop over. The back doors look older than the front, thinner wood. I brought a crowbar. I can't explain, so I won't. I needed to know. I needed to know. I was so sure if I could just get inside, there would be something that would answer my questions. An old bank statement, company letterhead, something. I took video. I wanted something to show for my exploits, and it also gave me something to do to stay focused and go through with it. Here's the audio of that recording. There are some sections where it's just a lot of silence or wind, and I've trimmed that down while editing.
Okay, so I'm parked about a block behind Main Street, behind the vanishing building. I've got a crowbar, I've got my ID. Okay, I guess there's no reason to wait, right? Right. Come on, but it's just a misdemeanor if you get caught, not a felony. I'm pretty sure. Okay, doing it. Okay, over the fence. Okay. Squeeze in and... Shit. Forgot the phone. Oof. turn on the phone light. There! Oh! There! I'm inside the vanishing building. It's dusty. I'm in the back hallway. It looks like an old office building. Well, there are some chairs, some desks, some old posters on the walls. Desks! Desks have papers in them. Maybe something about who used to own the place. This is just an old calendar of 1971. Maybe in this room, it looks like... I didn't see that. I didn't see that. I did. I should go. I should call 911.
I'm Detective Balmzav, and I'm with the Homicide Department. Are you feeling okay? Is now a good time to talk?
Of course. Sure.
Great. I know it's been a strange night for you. This is all routine. Just wanted to go over the statement you gave, make sure we had it all down. When a body is found like this, we want to make sure we have everything clear and buttoned up.
Okay.
Now, first and foremost, you didn't touch the body. You didn't touch anything?
Well, that's right. I saw it and turned and ran. It totally surprised and scared me.
You told the officer you spoke with before that you were doing some urban exploring?
Yes, taking photos of old buildings, sneaking into construction sites. I know it's not the best
path. That is some fancy trespassing.
Yes.
Now, you were exploring the building here and you found the deceased. Was there any particular reason why you picked this building? This isn't some sort of social media challenge. Do we need to worry about other explorers coming out?
No, it was just interesting and it seemed easy to get into.
Of course. Harmless pastime, really. I like taking pictures of dogs myself, but some people like creepy old buildings in the middle of the night. Have you been in this building before?
No, never.
Now, I asked you this before, but I'm going to ask again because it is so very, very important that you answer me honestly and completely. When you found the body, did you disturb the scene in any way? Did you touch anything, step on anything?
No.
Were you doing any graffiti while you were exploring?
No, I would never... No. Do you...
Yes?
You're asking because of what was on the wall, right? I didn't write that. It was there when I came in.
Did the words mean anything to you?
No, I ran out of the building right away and called 911. I'm not even sure I remember what it said. Is this,
What, ma'am?
Is this, like, a thing? Have you seen this sort of thing before?
Oh, no, ma'am. It is not common for us to come across naked bodies in abandoned buildings with weird writing painted on the wall behind them. This is a pretty small town, all in all. Most often when I find a body, the one who did it is standing in the same room, still holding the murder weapon and sobbing. I don't think you need to worry too much about it. It is strange, that's for certain, but we'll know a lot more tomorrow after we've done our work here.
Okay.
We're going to overlook the trespassing for now, but please keep yourself available if we have more questions, okay?
Yes, of course. Detective... I'm sorry, what was that?
What was that? Detective Thomas, have it now. Drive safely.
I was lying, of course. I remembered exactly what was written on the wall. I remembered exactly what the body looked like. And if I felt like forgetting, I had the video on my phone. The body appeared to be an older man, completely nude. His body was
white, reflecting back the light from my phone. I didn't smell anything. No rot, nothing. There wasn't any blood that I saw. He was laying on his back, staring at the ceiling. His arms at his side, his legs straight and together. His right hand was gone. Cut off. Completely straight edge. On the wall behind him were words, strange, out-of-place words. All, love, life. Just that. Just all, love, life. I sat in my driveway for almost an hour after driving home, just staring ahead, thinking. I went inside and I made some coffee, but I didn't drink it. I took a shower, still staring ahead, thinking. Who was the man? Who had killed him and taken his right hand? What were those words? What did they mean? Do you believe me? Can you believe me? Should you? I lay in my bed. I tried to calm down. Whatever it was, my part was done. I had followed the wizard with no wand, and Ian Brown had led me to something that made me afraid. Something wrong. All of my obsession with the building was gone. I felt sick. I couldn't sleep. Jack had left the original photos of the buildings at my house. I had insisted. I found myself standing in my kitchen at 4 a.m, looking at them again. Then I saw it. 1961 photo, 3 buildings. 1962, 3 buildings. 1963, 3 buildings. 1964, 3 buildings. Every photo showed 3 buildings, just as there was today. The middle building that had been gone in 62 and 64 was there. It was there. I sat down on the floor of my kitchen. I couldn't understand. How could the photos be different now? I'd been looking at them on and off for a couple of weeks. I pulled out my phone and watched the video of me and Jack looking at them. In the video, there were only 2 buildings in 62 and 64. The video is how I remember, but the real photos had changed. Do you believe me? Do you believe me?
Oh, how is it? Too soon to tell. So far, it's been nothing but dancing. But I'll watch it anyway, to show Starkus my good taste.
But surely, Starkus the one told us with good taste. Starkus wants tunes that taste good.
Hey, that's for me.
Sorry, Charlie. Only good tasting tuna get to be Starkus. Good tasting 100% prime filet.
This is good tasting tuna.
Get Starkus tuna.
Note the name. Starkus.
Okay, enough. I've caught up. Now is now. I'm recording this now. Enough past tense. It's been 2 days since I broke into the building. I watched the video of me and Jack looking at the photos over and over. It hasn't changed, but the actual photos have. Jack remembers seeing the missing building too, so his memory is unaffected. I don't know what any of this means. I just spent 2 weeks of my life investigating some weird photos that resulted in me finding a murder scene, only to find out that the photos changed somehow. The only proof, the only record that I'm not insane, is the video, is the recording. Putting this podcast together has helped some, but I don't trust the world as much. Yes. I don't trust the world as much as I did before. I'm sorry, I don't think you should trust it either. I can't shake this feeling that I was, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to keep recording, keep putting these recordings up for you to listen to. It helps. I'll tell you everything, I promise. Everything I learn, everything. Nothing kept back. Except for the things I keep back. Do you believe me? Should you? I'm going to meet with the detective tomorrow. I'm going to record the interview. A quick search online shows that there's no way they can not allow me to record an official interview by the police, so I guess that will be my next episode. my interview with the detective, who I guess I'll just call the detective. For now, I'm done recording. I'm going to take off my headphones and try to sleep. I'll listen back in a few hours while my memory is fresh, just to be safe. Just to be safe. Thanks for listening.